Blog Talk Radio.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon. And I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it's good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible, and the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter, and my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
This message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body, so that you will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for Symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Naughty, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation, to come call Symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received, and I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the Symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and his compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people, and I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the 6-month program or to study to become a symptometrist, because curing is proving. We're learning how. We want to spread the word. We need your help.
Symptometry has really helped me with dental problems. Before, I would wake up and my teeth were starting to cross in front. And the more citrus I was eating, the worse it would get. So it's been able to stop that. I stopped having dental pain and the actual teeth itself, and bad breath went away. No bad breath.
And the best way to go about it is to go to the American School of Symptometry, where we teach cosmic or atomic science, where we teach cell nourishment, so that every cell and every tissue in the human body is well nourished.
But I'm so excited because we find help in Symptometry, and we are grateful that we find this help. And I hope you'll call Symptometry, and you're gonna find out that for anything that you have, there is a solution, and Dr. Naughty knows how to help you.
Well, good evening, great evening. Welcome to yet another episode of Root Cause Radio. My name is Bella Marie. It is an honor and a pleasure, a true privilege to be with you tonight on Root Cause Radio. Our website, rootcauseradio.com, is where you will find not only today's show, but so many of our previous past podcasts. We are delighted to be the premier resource, the go-to resource for family caregivers, and we thank you for taking 30 minutes or so out of your day to join us for this podcast. For those of you who are new to the listenership, we'd like to share some good news with you. This show is sponsored by the American School of Symptometry. The American School of Symptometry is the only authorized teaching and training arm for symptometry, originator of Root Cause Therapeutics. Symptometry is the only applied therapeutic science that exists to remove disease at the cellular, genetic, and DNA level. Symptometry headquarters is located in Westchester, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, Illinois, and we are excited to have this platform, this podcast, to share necessary, useful, life-changing, and life-saving information with those interested in optimal health for themselves and their family members around the world. Now, again, we are just sharing general information on the podcast here. If there is a specific health concern that you have for yourself or a loved one, we encourage you to contact the appropriate health professional. You can always take advantage of a private health consultation through the Symptometry Health Center. In fact, the health center still offers the 15-minute health consultation at no charge to you. You can access that information on our website, rootcauseradio.com. And for those of you with pen and paper handy right now, please jot down the number 708-691-4977. Again, that number would be 708-691-4977. Well, tonight is our Listener's Choice podcast, ladies and gentlemen, which means we are providing answers to the questions, that you have submitted either through our radio show or through our mobile club. Tonight's topic, tonight's answers center around food selection, ingredient substitutions, and meal planning. This is a popular one. We will, of course, get through as much as we can on today's short podcast, and you are welcome, encouraged even, to take advantage of one of the services for our certified symptometry health coaches to help you through these things much, you know, in much greater detail, in much deeper detail. But we are excited to be sharing the information that we have to share with you tonight. Again, my name is Bella Murray, your hostess for tonight's podcast, and let's go ahead and dive right into it. So, from our previous podcast, this question actually came up from our previous podcast, and it included, this is our cancer awareness podcast, where our guest, Dr. Maxwell Narte, shared the role of sugar in really feeding tumor growth and helping cancer spread. So this question comes from one of our listeners in Ohio, and she specifically mentions that many breakfast cereals seem to be high in sugar or added sugar content, even if it's a supposedly healthy cereal. So it looks like, Jessica, you are looking for ways to pick healthy breakfast cereals, right, or find breakfast cereals that are lower in sugar. So we have the answers for you. We have resources for you. Please note that if any specific brand or company is mentioned on the air, it is only an example. It is not an endorsement. As you know, unfortunately, companies can change their manufacturing process. They can change their ingredients. You know, they can even change the size of the box without notifying the public, right? So any companies or brands mentioned by name are specifically for example purposes and not as an endorsement of that particular cereal or that particular brand, right? So that said, now that we have the disclaimer out of the way, let's go ahead and get to some key things to pick up, okay? And keep in mind that if you pick a great breakfast cereal, you don't always have to eat it with milk, right? You can put some in a sandwich bag and keep it with you on the go as a quick snack, right, in your purse or your book bag. But what you're going to want to keep up, we have really five top tips for picking a breakfast cereal, okay? So number one and most important would be limiting the sugar, right? That was the basis of your question, Jessica. So in limiting the sugar, you're going to want to look for a cereal that has less than 10 grams of sugar per serving, okay? Less than 10 grams will naturally satisfy your sweet tooth or that desire we've grown accustomed to for sweeter cereals, but it will also help prevent a sugar crash later, right? And sugar crash, how do you know if you're having a sugar crash? Well, there would be the symptoms of headache, irritability, anxiety, even dehydration within an hour or two of eating that super sugary snack or cereal. So in this case, fewer than 10 grams of sugar per serving is what you want to look for. And if you have a health condition that is sensitive to sugar, then you would want to look for fewer grams of sugar, fewer grams of sugar than that. Okay, so there is, again, just for example purposes only, Peace cereal. Peace cereal, goji berry, and chia, okay? They have, their cereal comes with 7 grams of sugars per serving, so that's a plus because it's less than 10, right? 210 calories per serving, which is great if you are looking, if you are calorie counting for any reason, right? That's a healthy portion there. And the fact that it has 5 grams of fiber and 4 grams of protein per serving would also help you stay fuller longer from that cereal, even if you weren't, you know, adding a homemade muffin or anything else with the cereal, right? Even if you were just eating it by itself. So that is just an example, but it is a perfect segue to tip number two for picking that breakfast cereal. You're going to want to look for a cereal that also has at least 3 grams of fiber per serving, right? In the example we just used, that cereal had 5 grams of fiber per serving. The importance of fiber, okay, is that it helps with digestion, especially soluble fiber. This helps the body relieve itself on a regular basis, as you may know, but fiber is also important in reducing cholesterol levels and helping stabilize blood sugar levels, okay? For those athletes and on-the-go professionals on the line, please know that fiber is also documented and proven to help improve your physical performance, okay? And that's not just a tip from me. This is actually from Tina Gowden, who is a registered dietitian as well, okay? So that was a tip there on the fiber, so you want to look for that. Also, tip number three is to look at all of the ingredients, okay? The first ingredient should not be something that you cannot pronounce or say, right? You would ideally look for a whole grain. I know a lot of people are also doing gluten-free meal options now, so if you're doing a gluten-free breakfast, then instead of a grain as the first ingredient, you would maybe be looking for oats, right? Whole grains do help promote heart health. A tip, if you will, because people always ask about the difference between white bread and wheat bread. Both white bread and wheat bread come from the same grain, right? Wheat bread is from the outside of the grain, and then white bread is from the inside of the grain. So it's both coming from the same grain. And if you are a person who has an enzyme deficit, meaning that you have symptoms all the time, and sometimes these things will show up as digestive issues, sometimes they'll show up as sinus issues, etc., in the early stages anyway. If you are a person who already has an enzyme deficit, then eating whole grain, while whole grains, specifically wheat bread, while great for promoting heart health, would also be aggravating your symptoms since you're already in an enzyme deficit, right? So look at the ingredients. Definitely this is where you'll find information about non-GMO, right? Making sure your cereal is non-GMO, preferably organic, although sometimes there are problems with that too, because the FDA does not regulate the quality of what gets labeled organic or not, right? But you generally want to see an ingredient list with fewer ingredients overall, and the first ingredient being some type of whole grain, be it whole wheat, whole oats, et cetera. Okay, so that was tip number three. We're kind of getting in detail here, Jessica, so hopefully you're taking notes. But tip number four was to power up with protein again. Having a breakfast that's higher in protein content will help reduce overeating later. It'll help you stay fuller longer, okay? 5 grams of protein per serving is ideal if you're looking to stay fuller longer with your breakfast meal. And, it's also a good amount to keep an eye out for if you are someone or if you are feeding someone who already has kidney health issues, right? Lower kidney function, things like that, because the more protein we eat, the more strain that our kidneys experience in processing through all of that. So 5 grams, at least about 5 grams of protein per serving is great for, one, not overworking the kidneys, but two, giving you those immediate benefits of curbing overeating later and keeping you full longer. And our last tip for picking a healthy breakfast would be to keep the portions in mind. Every cereal has a suggested serving size. Ladies and gentlemen, I am guilty of this one here in just pouring everything out of the box and filling up my bowl. So if you do it that way, you might end up eating 2 or 3 servings at once. Which would be especially bad if your cereal was overloaded in sugar and was poor nutritional content, right? So even though we're using these tips to pick a healthy breakfast cereal that's low in sugar, you definitely want to go ahead and keep in mind the serving size. And watching the serving size will also help you make note of any health concerns that you may have of your own, right, regarding not being full after eating. It'll just help you gauge and know what it takes for you to be full, what it takes for you to be satisfied, and the different things that you can do in serving yourself and taking care of yourself, right? So you'll have that baseline so that you will be more aware when things change, if things change with your health. Okay, so recap for picking a healthier breakfast cereal that's not so high in sugar. Again, tip number one, limit the sugar to fewer than 10 grams of sugar per serving. You want to, and again, if you have cancer or any kind of illness, that a viral infection, any kind of illness that is sensitive to sugar, you would want to go with less than half that amount, right? So tip number two was embracing fiber, at least 3 grams of fiber per serving. Tip number three was paying attention to the ingredients. The fewer ingredients, the better. Specifically, look for ingredients that you can recognize and pronounce, as well as ingredients that are marked as non-GMO. Tip number four would be getting a protein-rich breakfast, right, with at least 5 grams of protein per serving or more. And again, if you are picking a cereal that's lower in protein, you could sprinkle a tablespoon of chia seeds in there with your rice milk and your cereal to add to the protein value. But if you can pick a cereal that already has at least 5 grams of protein per serving. And finally, tip number 5 was keep portions in mind. Keep the portions in mind so that, you know, you monitor and watch that serving size in consuming your cereal, okay? So hopefully that answers your question. We went quite in detail there. We're going to see if we can get in one or two more before today's show ends. And if you have a question of your own that you would like to ask on air regarding either meal planning, food selection, or ingredient substitutions, you can go ahead and press 1, and we will gladly take your question on air before the show ends if you press 1, okay? So we're going to go ahead and check the panel right now in case there are any live questions, and then let's go ahead and go on to this other question that was sent in, okay? So this question is regarding substitutions for recipes, and this is really a question that'll help a lot of people because we all have our favorite recipes that we would like to continue making with added health benefits, right? So this question is regarding substitutions for baking, specifically for eggs. And thank you. Well, this one's just initial. So thank you, A.N., from Ontario, Canada. Thank you for sending in your questions. But here we go. In terms of substitutes, right, for eggs specifically. And the reason we're starting with eggs is because there are a lot of conditions that are aggravated by the presence of eggs, right, specifically the albumin in the eggs. You're going to want to, if you're pre-purchasing something, if you know you have an egg sensitivity and you're pre-purchasing something, you would want to look at the ingredient label. It will not necessarily always say egg on the ingredient label, but if it starts with an OVA or an OVO, that is a big red flag that it came from eggs, right, or part of an egg. So, and you don't just have to avoid eggs if you have a food allergy. Again, many of the people with skin conditions, be it psoriasis, eczema, et cetera, will notice a flare-up of their symptoms when they are eating foods that contain egg products or actual eggs themselves. Also, those with ulcers will also notice a flare-up or increased agitation more often than not, okay? So here is the thing. If an egg is in the recipe, it's usually either being included as a binding agent, right, to help hold the ingredients together and give it structure, to help the food rise, especially in baking, right, a leavening agent, because eggs, when you beat the eggs, it'll trap some of the air for moisture, because the liquids from the eggs is absorbed into the other ingredients of the recipe, which helps for the finished product as well as for flavor and appearance, right? So keeping all of that in mind, here are some substitutes that you can use when a recipe calls for eggs. You may have to experiment with this a little bit just in terms of the flavor of the finished product. So if you want to use any of these tips for your holiday dishes, for a birthday cake, anything like that, I definitely recommend that you try out the substitution on your own before the big day, okay? Do not do the substitution the first time that you are presenting it to everyone else, okay? Try it on your own. Do not surprise anyone for a big day with this, especially if you are not comfortable in the kitchen already, right? So substitution number 1, it's actually a pretty common one regarding the applesauce, right? And applesauce can often be sweetened with with other spices like nutmeg and cinnamon. Sometimes you'll get it from the store that way, or it can be purchased unflavored, right? Applesauce is a puree made from cooked apples, okay? Because of the cyanic acid normally found in apples anyway, most of it's concentrated in the seed, but it does also end up in the flesh of the apple, right? Scintometry always recommends that applesauce is consumed cooked, which is why using it as an egg substitute for baking is absolutely perfect. 1/4 a cup of applesauce can replace one egg in most recipes. If you are, and using the unsweetened applesauce is best in that case, just to not alter the flavor of the recipe too much. If you're using the sweetened variety, please make sure to double check the amount of sugar or sweetener in the recipe itself, because you would likely want to go ahead and reduce that. Okay. Next substitute, mashed banana, another popular one, right, ladies and gentlemen? The only downside in terms of baking and using the banana as a substitute for eggs is that it would definitely alter the flavor. Your finished product would have that mild banana flavor. There are other pureed fruits like pumpkin or avocado that may work too and not affect the flavor as much. In terms of the health benefits, banana and avocado would be recommended over pumpkin. Okay, and this substitution works in cakes, brownies, quick breads, things of that nature. Third one that we're going to share for the substitution is actually the ground flax seeds. Okay, ground flax seeds or chia seeds can be used as an egg substitute. You can grind the seeds yourself at home or buy them that way, buy them ready-made seed meal is what it's called when it's already ground up in the store. But to replace an egg, you would combine 1 tablespoon of the ground chia seeds with 3 tablespoons of water and let it sit for about 15 minutes so the seeds would absorb the water and thicken up, okay? And just a tip, if you're doing this with your baked goods, the baked goods would become heavier, like dense, thicker. Sometimes it can also result in a nuttier flavor, so this works best in like pancakes, waffles, muffins, breads, and cookies. Okay. Another quick tip that we want to share with our listeners is if you're deciding between flax seeds and chia seeds. Okay, Scintometry actually recommends the chia seeds over the flax seeds. Even though these are both considered superfoods, highly nutritious, they're rich in omega-3 fatty acids, fiber, and other unique plant compounds, the downside of the flaxseed is that if someone, flaxseeds are never absorbed by the body, so you would pass them out. And then, two, for people with specific health conditions that are sensitive to cyanide levels and things like that, so fibroids and many of the others, the flax seeds would not have any added benefit for helping the body rid itself of the illness. So that's why Scintometry actually recommends the chia seeds over the flax seeds, ladies and gentlemen. And we also have... There was also a question about tofu, and tofu is really just condensed soy milk that has been processed and pressed into solid blocks. Not everyone processes soy well. If you're already dealing with tumors, or especially breast tumors, and tumors in the other part of the body, the extra enzymes it takes to process the tofu would not be to your advantage. So just keep that in mind if you plan to use that as a substitute. Yogurt is another popular egg substitute, ladies and gentlemen. However, if you already have sinus issues or the conditions that are sensitive to high potassium foods, high phosphorus foods, yogurt and dairy products would not be ideal. Final tip on the eggs is aquafaba, okay, A-Q-A-F-A-B-A. And this is an egg, this is the liquid that's left over from cooking beans or legumes. So you know that, or if you've listened to the show before, or if you have the book What to Consume by Dr. Maxwell Narte, then you know that chickpeas are one of the healthiest beans that you can eat, right? Garbanzo beans, also called chickpeas. Well, let's say you cook some of those and you have the water left over, that would be excellent. That's actually the best substitute if you're trying to make something that calls for just egg whites. For example, if you want a breakfast and instead of eating scrambled egg whites, you can actually use the aquafaba to replace the egg whites, and 3 tablespoons of aquafaba will replace 1 egg, right? The consistency is similar to that of raw egg whites, and it can actually be found in canned chickpeas or beans, and if you don't want to cook them yourself. But again, keep in mind, if you're going to use the liquid from canned chickpeas or beans, then you definitely want to make sure that that product is GMO-free to give yourself the best possible health benefits, okay? We do these Listener's Choice podcasts once a month. It is a delight. It is a delight to answer these questions on air, and we thank you for sending them in via our website, rootcauseradio.com. We did pick the questions that seem to have the most number of inquirers in terms of themes and so forth. So we want to thank everyone who submitted. We will be responding to you individually if your question was not answered on air, but we just wanted to share the answers to the questions that were more commonly asked. So feel free to use rootcauseradio.com to submit new questions. We're going to check the panel one more time just in case anyone raised their hand to do to have a question or contribute a comment of their own, okay? So, oh, and we do have a listener. Caller from area code 708-288, okay? You are live on Root Cause Radio. Thanks for raising your hand. What's your name and what's your comment or question?
Hi, my name's Yvette.
Hi,
can you
Yvette.
Hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in tonight. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. I just want to say I love your show. I try to catch it every week. It's just so educational, and you learn so much. So I just wanted to say that. And I have a quick question about the substitute, okay?
Yes.
So I was listening to one of your past shows a couple of weeks ago about onions, right, how you cook with them,
Yeah. And
then you take them out, right? So
yes.
Can you substitute leeks? And do you have to take those out also?
Oh, see,
you
that
know, like,
is
can
a...
You substitute leeks for onions, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
so
we eat them and cook them in potatoes and things like that. Yeah.
Awesome. I love this question. Thank you, Yvette. For this question. So, okay, so for our listeners who may not have heard the show that Yvette is referencing,
mm-hmm.
We recently did a podcast on prostate cancer and prostate health, right? And so in
Yes. Answering
one of the questions, our guest, the founder of Symptometry, Dr. Maxwell Narte, shared that specifically for men who have a family history of prostate cancer or enlarged prostate, or who are currently battling those conditions themselves, because of the health disruptors in the onion, right, the nutrients that the body cannot break down
Yes. All
the way, it is best to cook with onion, but cut the onions large enough to scoop, to remove the onions from the food before the man in question eats them, right? A lot of people cook for cook with onion for flavor. I do it myself as well. So, Yvette, the answer to your question, leeks are from the same family, I think, as onions. Give me just a moment.
Yes. So I was thinking
and,
that.
And leeks are also one of the foods listed on the... Leeks are one of the foods listed as the 45 safest consumables in the book. In the book, What's a Thing, where Dr. Narte answers some of these questions. So,
correct.
In terms of, give me just a moment here, Yvette, I'm going to go ahead and look this question up while we are on the air, so I can answer you before, you know, before we get off the air, because I'm sure many other people have that question as well. But while I look this up for you, could you please share with our listeners your own experiences maybe with using the What to Consume book or something else that you've learned from some of our past shows, please?
Yes, yes, I'll be happy to. Like I say, I love this show. I listen to it every week. When I do miss it, I go listen to Root Cause Radio and download it on my computer so I can listen to it as I do my housework, and just very educational, you know. And this is the only show that teaches us about cell nourishment, how to properly nourish ourselves. And it's so exciting. I just do not want to miss a week. You know, I tune in as much as I can because we want to learn, right, about our health, right, and how to maintain it. You know, and it's just the most important thing to me in the world, right? Without money's not important if you don't have health. You can't spend it, right? So I just love this show so much, you know, just to learn and just guide us and, you know, keep us knowledgeable about the foods that's out there, you know. It's just so great. So thank you. Yeah, and I love leeks with potatoes, okay? And that's what I just wanted to make sure that it's, should we be eating them after we cook with them also, being that they're in the same family. So that was the question. And other than that, I love it. I try to live by the 45 foods as much as possible, much as possible. Okay, and it's doing great. My health is great. It's just wonderful. Centometry is wonderful. Yeah. Did I talk too much?
No.
I'm so sorry.
No,
I just
it's
love
okay.
talking about
I
good
was
health
say,
and
I
everything, you know.
Yeah. No, well, listen, I appreciate you speaking from the heart, definitely, because I know I'm sure that'll help some of our other listeners as well, who are maybe just discovering centometry and Root Cause Radio for the first time or picked up a book or something. So, no, thank you. Thank you for sharing from the heart. I really value that, and I'm sure our listeners did too. To answer your question, and I have good news for you, Miss Yvette, because leeks are actually free from the health disruptor that is in onions, right? So if you were to cook with leeks, like as you suggested, your leeks with potatoes, you can go ahead and leave them in the food and finish the food. Now, for maybe some of our other listeners who may be using onion for flavor, okay, the flavoring is definitely different between leeks and onion. They're from the same family for sure, but they each have their own flavor. Again, the health advantage of leeks is that they do not have that health disruptor that promotes the enlarged prostate. And for women, it's important to know that even if you cook with onions, if you have a tumor or a cyst or anything like that runs in your family, then you would want to be cautious of eating cooked onions as well, right? So that health tip on the onions is for both men and women. It's just the show it was shared on was a show talking about male health. But I love the question you asked, and I'm very happy to be sharing good news that leek can be used as a substitute for onion left in the food so that and consumed still. So that is great. Thank you, Yvette.
Wonderful. You're welcome. You're welcome. And thanks for having me talk on the show.
You're welcome.
All right.
We appreciate you
bye-bye.
So much and enjoy the rest of your night.
All right.
Okay.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, well, listen, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for tonight's podcast on Root Cause Radio. Thanks to Miss Yvette for asking her question on the air. And thanks to all of you who listen each Wednesday night and chose to send in your questions so that we could get them answered. Again, if your question was not picked to be answered on air, we will still be getting back to you with that response, ladies and gentlemen. You want to make sure to tune in every single Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, for RootCauseRadio.com. Our Listener's Choice podcast is only once a month. However, we do cover powerful topics every single week that will help you and your family enjoy optimal health. Thanks so much for staying with us. We'll see you next week on RootCauseRadio.com. Again, if you have a health concern of your own, you would want to take advantage of that private health consultation available at no cost through Centometry headquarters. The phone number is 708-691-4977. Again, that number is 708-691-4977. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for staying with us. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.